Good morning and welcome to worship on this 24th Sunday after Pentecost. Special welcome to those who are worshiping with us from home and our friends at the Springs. We are glad that you are joining us. As we prepare our hearts for worship, I invite all who are able to stand for our brief order of confession and forgiveness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a moment for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of justice and love, you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need and awaken us to the needs of others. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from the prophet Amos, the fifth chapter. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I'd like to focus on that last verse of the gospel lesson. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. I'd like to focus on that because this morning, I'd like to suggest a reading of this parable that might be a little different from what we've probably become accustomed to. But before doing that, I want to share a story. My grandfather, when he died, was 98. And in those last years, understandably, was pretty homebound. Someone took him to church, but otherwise, he was just in his house. And whenever we would go and visit him, whenever I would leave, I'd want to set up the next time I'd come and stop by in Mount Angel. And I'd suggest a few options, and he'd kind of listen politely and not really say anything, and then finally say, "I'll be here." I know a lot of you can relate to that. And then I'd go and check in with my aunt or his caregiver and find out when I should actually show up. But I always loved the simplicity of Grandpa's response. If you made those plans, he was just going to forget. So whenever you showed up was always just kind of a surprise to him. And he always loved the visit, and he didn't care that he wasn't prepared. He just went with it. And so what he always said was very accurate. "Well, I'll be here." Wisely promising nothing else. And I only tell that story because it might have a little bit of a parallel to our parable today. This parable, like many that we've had in this portion of the Gospel of Matthew, is about the return of Jesus. When the new creation is brought forth of the whole of the earth, humans and all the other things in the cosmos will be finally set right. The power of sin and death will be completely vanquished, and the fullness of Jesus' presence in our lives that is already here in some way will be fully actualized. We've had these readings for some time now. They're going to keep coming next few weeks. And this parable fits that category, that lesson at the end. "Therefore, keep awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Emphasizing we can't predict when Jesus is going to return. And then we have the content of the parable leading to that conclusion. We have this story of the 10 bridesmaids. And when we look at that story, I'm just going to posit a guess that most of you, or most of us, when we read this, usually focus on the oil. Because that seems to be the determining factor about these two groups of bridesmaids, some bringing extra oil, the others not. And so then we'd expect the lesson to be something about being prepared, probably. Go ahead and bring that metaphorical extra oil along with you. Be prepared for when Jesus returns. It's not a bad lesson. And I'm sure that the parable could lead us there. But today I'd like to explore another possible way of thinking about it. I'd like to invite you into a few of the really tricky aspects of this parable. And when we read those, it's going to, frankly, make less and less sense of how Jesus comes to this conclusion. Because it's the conclusion, therefore, keep awake. You know neither the day nor the hour. So thinking about that conclusion, let's reread the parable. And this is going to be a little more of an in-depth textual analysis than we usually do at a sermon, but I think we need it to see where this is going. So it starts with bridesmaids arriving. Some of them have extra oil, others do not. And then they all fall asleep. Remember the lesson, keep awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Already we should pause. The wise ones fell just as much asleep as the foolish ones. Something isn't quite right. And then these sleeping bridesmaids are all awakened by a great shout that the bridegroom is here. So come out and meet him. So they all wake up. And then the foolish ones notice they have no oil. So they ask the other ones to give them some oil. The wise ones refuse, tell them to go buy some more. And then the foolish bridesmaids leave. But did you notice a detail? The bridegroom was there. It doesn't say he was on his way and due soon, but he's there right now. But the foolish bridesmaids leave. They go try and find sellers for their lamps, sellers of oil for their lamps. And while they're away, it says, those who are ready go with the bridegroom. Notice it didn't say those who had oil in their lamp went with the bridegroom. Just those that are ready. And then those foolish ones come back and they find a closed door and they're not able to go in. And all of this leads to Jesus' lesson. Keep awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. I hope now you're starting to see the complication of this parable. Aren't we to start with the question of what's the posture we should all have for the coming of Jesus? Well, it's pretty clear. Stay awake. That's what we should be doing. And it's true. It is what we should be doing. Should be focusing our minds, our hearts, our souls, everything in our whole lives on that one singular event, Jesus in our lives. But then what does this parable suggest? Even though we do have that command, we're not going to do it. Every last one of these bridesmaids fell asleep. See, we get so caught up in the details about the oil and the lamps that I think sometimes we miss that universal reality. We're human. We sin. We err. We all fall asleep. To truly put everything we have at all times and all places with all things into Christ is the reality we will have, but only after Jesus comes back, not before. Right now, we live in the place where we fall asleep, where we falter, where we can pray, "Dear God, draw me closer unto you," and even in the midst of the prayer, feel ourselves falling away as we are captive to sin and death as we started the service this morning. And so we fall asleep. We don't stay awake. And then this parable finds grace. Every last one of these bridegrooms who fell asleep get woken up. They didn't do anything to wake up. They didn't remain awake because they didn't know the day or the hour. They all fell asleep, and yet they were called and woken anyway. Then we have this whole drama with the oil and the lamps. And here I believe we found our red herring. Nobody told them they needed to have oil in their lamps, nor a suggestion that they'd be favored or disfavored based upon it. Instead, they all simply assume they need to fix this problem. They don't see that the bridegroom is already there. The waiting period is over. You don't really need oil. You're headed to the wedding banquet, where there's presumably light. And then when they're called upon, they focus on the wrong things. And the one thing they actually did need to do, to simply be present, they weren't able to accomplish. They tried to do more, get the oil they needed, solve what they thought the problem they had in their lives, and didn't see that the problem had been solved for them. The bridegroom was already there. And this is clarified by what these wise bridesmaids did. It doesn't say that because of their well-lit lamp, nor because they had the foresight of bringing extra oil, that now they're with the bridegroom. It was the bridegroom that woke them up. It simply says they were ready, and they went out to meet him. They followed Grandpa's advice. They were just there. They might have fallen asleep. They might have been distracted, but they were present. And there's a big difference being simply present and being prepared. Being prepared is an active thing we do. We put together what we need in order to remain awake, in order that we won't be caught unaware, in order that we can control the situation. That's not what these wise bridesmaids do. They're as confused as the foolish ones. They also get caught up in the details about the oil, but they happen to not leave. So much the same for us. Remaining present isn't really an action of ours, as if we're preparing. It's just being there. It's letting the action of the space happen around us, and for us to participate when it happens. I submit that's what these people did. Even when they were asleep, they were present. So they don't follow Jesus' lesson. Stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. They fall asleep. They weren't prepared. Because the whole point of it is that we can't. I've been focusing on the stay awake, but notice the second half. For you don't know the day or the hour. And as much as we like to use phrases like expect the unexpected, you know, of course, that is impossible. You can't expect what you can't expect. So just like these bridesmaids waiting, we too are waiting, and we're not going to be prepared. There is no vat of oil large enough for us to prepare for what life brings to us, much less Jesus' return. Just like them, we're going to fall asleep. But while asleep, just like them, we can be present. We don't have to be able to stay awake and be fully prepared at all times. Instead, we receive the grace that God will wake us up and bring us into God's full embrace. All we do is remain. Be human. Keep from getting distracted and moving us away from what is fully present, which is Christ in our lives, both right now and on into the future. Thanks be to God. Amen. With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. O God, for whom we wait, come quickly to your people. Bring your salvation and center us in hope found only in you. Deepen our faith through meaningful worship and send us out with your justice and truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, for whom we watch, we glimpse your power in rushing water and your beauty in the darkening night. Restore this creation and provide clean water to all people and animals. Save us from foolish, wasteful living. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, for whom we long, let justice roll down like waters on all nations. Bless citizens with wise leaders. Save your children from war. We pray for the veterans of this community and every community that they are supported and loved. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, in whom we hope, we pray for all who are in need. Provide those who experience this homelessness or hunger. Support the underemployed and unemployed, and comfort any who are suffering this day in illness, injury, recovery, grief, or any kind of pain. Today we pray especially for Clarice Bates, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Morgan McCrory, Shirley Watson. For whom else or what else do the people pray? All these we've named aloud, those held in our hearts and those known only to you we lift before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, in whom we remain, we remember our loved ones who died and now live in you. Especially this week we remember Connie Rattenborg and John Piper. Bring comfort and the assurance of new life to all who grieve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer our spoken prayers to those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please stand up, share that peace with one another, and wave to those joining us from home or from the Springs or wherever they are. Just a few announcements of our life together this week. Hopefully you see this blue insert in your bulletin, which has a few notes on it. I just want to highlight a few things. First is to note, you heard in the prayers that John Piper died this last week. His memorial service will be Friday, November 17th at 2 p.m. And Connie Rattenborg's is going to be this Saturday, November 18th at 2 p.m. I also want to make note of, as hopefully all of you know or you've figured out by now, we didn't have the Cairo lectures this weekend due to an emergency, but we are going to have a special adult education hour today after service. Join us in the parish hall. There's going to be refreshments. And also, for the first time, at least since I've been here, we're going to try to do an education hour hybrid for those of you joining us from home. I believe it's going to work. You can find the Zoom link on the front page at the central website for any of you from home. Please click on that, and we'll be doing a little bit more Cairo-like education hour, where we'll be talking about the book of Galatians. Please join us. So that'll be directly after service. And then I want to make note of what this insert talks about, which is our upcoming Tuesday evening schedule as we look forward into Advent. And so this week, Together Tuesday is as normal. 5:15 for our meal, 6 p.m. for classes. Then the following week is November 21st, which is the week of Thanksgiving. So we won't do the meal or the adult class that week because it's the week of Thanksgiving and we all have things we're doing. Then when we come back on the 28th, we're going to have a new Advent schedule than we've had in the past. So 5 p.m. will be soup, and then at 5:30, we're going to have our Holden evening prayer service. So that's different than the past. Before, that was usually at 7. So 5:30 will be the Holden evening prayer service, and then at 6, we'll all go to our classes like we always do on Tuesday. So this week, it's the same as normal, 5:15. Following week, we won't have it because it's the week of Thanksgiving, and then when we come back, we're into this new Advent schedule. So keep those in mind as we move forward. And you'll also see on the blue thing, as Advent and soup suppers are coming, we could use some help. So if you could please, if you're able to make some soup, let us know. You can fill that out, drop it in the offering plate. You could also contact the church office, let us know how you could be helping. With those announcements of our life together, let's continue our worship with our offertory.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able. Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples and upon us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy, and so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share the heavenly food of the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to be seated, and as soon as the communion servers are in place, we'll invite you to come forward, gathering around the altar rail and receiving the bread in the form of a wafer and drinking from the cup. White wine is in the center cup. White grape juice is in the center. Red wine is in the outer rings. And I also, if you don't want to navigate stairs, please come and sit in the front row of the pews, and we will come to you. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed be your name, O God, for we have feasted on your word, Christ Jesus, the joy and delight of our hearts. Strengthened by this food, send us to gather the world to your banquet, where none are left out and all are satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now please rise to receive the benediction. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
But before you go, sit and enjoy the voluntary. Join us in the parish hall for the class and refreshments.